This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torver. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome back to Outspoken. We are so sorry this is coming to you a little bit later than usual, but we are changing our days around.
Yeah, so we've decided to bring some joy on Hump Day on a Wednesday, and that's when we're going to be doing our normal show, and then we'll also do our second show on Friday. So we're spicing it up a little bit.
Yeah, we're changing things around just because it works so much better for our schedule. And talking schedules, I know we've all had a really busy week, but officially, just so everyone knows, how has everyone's weeks been?
I thought I'd provide a bit of an update for those in our Facebook community about how my rental is going. So we are officially 11 days in for those taking bets at home. But we have had some good news. There have been three people who had private inspections, and one fussy lady has apparently asked for an application form. Ooh. So watch this space.
I'm trying to remember how many days. I reckon I said 2 weeks.
I think I said like six.
Kate said six. Amy, you did not say 2 weeks. You said 4 weeks or something.
Aww.
But anyway, I mean, there's no signature on the dotted line yet, so we never know.
Well, we'll find out next week how that's progressed. Mm. I had quite a stressful week as a dog mum. I had to take Shadow into the vet, the emergency vet, which I have now decided that I think I would like to be a vet in my next life. Because fortunately, Shadow had a bout of gastro, but we needed to keep him in overnight to run blood tests and have x-rays. And that whole process cost nearly $2,000.
Do you know what is crazy? It's been such a bad week for pets at the moment because my boyfriend's sister, her poor dog got hit by a car. Well, it actually herded a car. So its front legs attacked the truck. Luckily, the dog came off better, but it actually cost
better than the car?
Well, not better than the car, but it's still alive.
Well, it's a border collie for those wondering why it would be herding cars.
But it was less to treat this border collie where they had stitches and everything than to treat a dog for gastro, which I couldn't believe.
Yeah, we weren't. Thank goodness for pet insurance.
Well, my week has been another healthy week, I must say. I'm not trying to brag here.
I had a Snapchat from you eating curly wells. I feel like you think that that's okay curly to wellies. Eat every day.
Curly wellies.
Curly wellies.
No. I know exactly what sugar I'm allowed to have. And that, as I've mentioned on the show, they only have 12 grams of sugar. So I've been sticking to that. I need a treat.
Can we reiterate the reason that you're being so over the top with sugar and carbs is because we all have naturally high cholesterol. So you're not some sort of like hippie person that... Isn't that the term?
I think it's woo-woo, isn't
it? Oh, woo-woo.
Well, I mentioned in our podcast community that I was thinking of going off the pill after we had our naturopath, Maria Harpus, on the show. And it was a really good discussion in the group. So I have decided to go off it. And so I've been trying to clean my diet up just so my skin doesn't go foul after getting off it.
I'm officially off it as well. And I think that was quite evident yesterday when I just burst into tears for no reason and got really upset. I was like, yeah, it must be leaving my system or something.
Oh, my gosh. See, I had a cry yesterday too, but I'm still on the pill. So I don't know what's going on here. Amy and Sophie are my guinea pigs because I'm still on it. So I'll see how their skin turns out.
I've got to say, I've been feeling amazing because I've been taking powdered magnesium supplement and also zinc drops because apparently when you take the pill, magnesium and zinc is lowered in your body so you don't get enough of it. And oh my goodness, I've been having the best sleeps. I've been feeling amazing. So I'd highly recommend, obviously check with your doctor or your naturopath. But
yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's obviously important to run these things through a doctor and do your research because not everything works for the one person. But yeah.
Well, one other great thing that's happening at the end of this week is Christmas in July.
Well, I'm just pumped for Christmas later in the year. But Christmas in July, it's a good excuse to get all your Christmas jumpers out because I'm a big fan of Christmas jumpers. I'll have to share a photo on our Insta story of how many I've got, and I will wear them during 40 degree heat just because I get so much joy out of it.
Our OG listeners will know that every year we have at Christmas a white party where we do really extravagant desserts. So I'm kind of expecting the same sort of treatment for this weekend.
Maybe we should do a different color, mix it up.
No, I reckon the jumpers.
Yeah. Winter Wonderland.
Yeah, that's good. Ooh, I think you've got
that'd be cool.
And a fire with marshmallows that you roast and you can actually have hot chocolate.
If anyone else is celebrating Christmas in July, please tag us in any Instagram stories that go out because we would love to see them.
And let's get a thread going in the Facebook community because I'd love to hear what other people's ideas are.
Let's get into the first topic. According to Instagram, the summer of 2020 is back. Glamorous snaps of British influencers holidaying in Ibiza are filling our feed thanks to the UK government relaxing its quarantine travel rules. It's all rather confusing though, with the fight against COVID far but over. So can you tell us what is actually going on with the UK's travel rules at the moment?
Well, on July 10, the UK government eased its quarantine rules, allowing travel to 58 selected countries, including France, Italy, Belgium, Germany, and Spain.
Well, that's pretty amazing, considering some of those countries have had such high cases of coronavirus.
Yeah, but which countries aren't they allowed to travel to?
So some of the countries they're currently not allowed to travel to are the US, China, and Portugal. And it's really interesting because travellers leaving and arriving in the UK will not be required to self-isolate for 14 days.
That is actually so ridiculous. Because I found out with a bit of research that 2-week quarantine rule was only put into effect on June 8th, so only about a month ago. So now they're just completely throwing that out the window.
Is this just because they want to start tourism up again?
Well, the UK Secretary of State for Transport said, whether you're a holidaymaker ready to travel abroad or a business eager to open your doors again, this is good news for British people and great news for British business. So it seems to be very heavily driven by the economy at the moment and not so much for the health of the people over there.
I can see the positives there for the economy, but what's going to happen is it's not going to stop coronavirus. It's just going to continue the spread and it's going to get worse and worse before there's a vaccine.
Well, I mean, you have to just take a look at everyone in Melbourne at the moment, and our heart goes out to everyone who is currently in lockdown because it just seems like such a dire situation over there.
Yeah, and it can change so rapidly, which I suppose is scary for what's going on in the UK at the moment, because while travellers don't have to isolate, they have been told that they need to provide the address of where they'll be staying for the duration of their trip.
That's lucky.
That really helps. Every time I've traveled overseas, that's a part of the immigration process.
I suppose it is a little bit different because when I was traveling in Europe, you don't have to show your passports going into certain countries. So for example, when I went from Amsterdam to Berlin on the train, didn't have to show any passports or anything like that.
So it's kind of like state to state travel in Australia.
Basically.
Well, we should probably move into what the current lockdown situation is in the UK. So as we're currently recording this, the UK's official COVID-19 death toll currently stands at 45,300, and there have been 294,792 cases, which is one of the highest records in the world.
That is just so interesting to put into perspective in comparison to what's going on in Australia. Obviously, we've been seeing a high number of cases in Victoria, but pretty much across the rest of the country, our cases have been low. And I would be so shocked if we were thinking of allowing our citizens to travel.
Well, all this travel has also coincided with the fact that gyms, swimming pools, leisure centres, beauty salons and outdoor arts venues in England are all reopened as well.
Yeah, and what I found interesting is they're also going to be making masks mandatory of July 23, so similar to in Victoria. If you're going out to the shops or supermarkets or on public transport, you're going to have to be wearing a mask.
Well, so how does that work when you're away? I mean, it's particularly difficult for them because it's summertime at the moment, and wearing these masks could be, you know, really restrictive. Can you imagine everyone getting around in them in summer
here? Yeah, well, they have similar laws in Spain, which we'll be going into a little bit later, but I found it quite interesting because I was wondering, okay, so if you can travel, then how many people are you actually allowed to hang out with? Are things relatively back to normal in the UK? But it seems to be that they're still sticking with these household rules. So they've explained it as anyone in your support bubble is included as your household. So at the moment, if you are socializing indoors, you're only allowed to have two households together. But if you are wanting to socialize with people outside of your household, you can only be together with up to 6 people.
Do you have to list these people? Because how do the police know? How are they policing this that you're just with your designated people?
I feel like there'd be a lot of trust there. What I found really interesting is I follow a lot of UK YouTubers, and one of them had a video where she was finally visiting her friends, but in the video she had to be, I think it was 1.5 meters away from her friends at all time during the video.
And I just isn't think, that normal social distancing rules here?
It just seemed bizarre how the placement was in the video.
You could tell that they'd just done it so there'd be no troll comments, because as soon as that video is over, I'm guessing they were probably a lot closer than 1.5
It just looked
meters.
Very unnatural.
Well, yeah. What I found particularly funny when looking into the UK's social distancing rules is the fact that if you're out with your two households, so that's okay if you're all together. So say, Amy, your household and my household went out together.
But if I was then to see Sophie, a different household, we would not be able to speak to her. We'd have to ignore her.
Is it feasible to believe that this is actually, people are actually sticking to these guidelines, well, if it's so difficult to police?
I think it's bullshit though, because people are allowed to travel, yet there's still really strict rules around funerals and weddings. So only 30 people can go to a funeral and a wedding, yet you can jet off to Ibiza and then just come straight back. It seems a bit ludicrous to me.
Shall we take a look at which influencers are currently in Ibiza at the moment?
Yeah, so I noticed that this was popping up all in my newsfeed last week, and this, of course, coincided with the easing of the rules and also a new travel company called TUI Flights carrying over 500 British holidaymakers across to Ibiza from Manchester and London, and then that was also followed by a flight from Ryanair. So
pretty classy airlines that are going. Who's getting on Ryanair at the moment? Well, I feel like you're going to be pretty desperate to go on a holiday through Ryanair.
Well, that's what I found funny, because when I was watching YouTube couple Ellie Darby and Connor Swift's vlog in Ibiza, they were traveling Ryanair and I was like, wow, that must have been really slim pickings. So that pair are there alongside UK Love Island stars Molly May and Tommy Fury, as well as some lesser known UK Love Island stars who are Elmer and Francesca. Funnily enough, Geordie Shore stars Charlotte Crosby and Holly Hagen are also there, along with I'm a Celeb winner Jacqueline Joser and Toey's Billy. So the three of them are actually shooting an in-style campaign, and I think Holly's just sunbaking in the meantime.
Well, I've also heard people like Saffron Barker talking about how she's set to plan a holiday there or either in the Middle East. So it is interesting to hear that there's a lot of travel being discussed on YouTube at the moment, and I suppose travel vlogs are a lot of these people's bread and butter, so it does make sense that they're suddenly traveling again.
Do you reckon that these companies are paying for them to go over there? Because as you say, it's just popping up all the time in Instagram, and I'm assuming it is influencing other people in the UK to go, oh, okay, if they're there, it must be safe to go to Ibiza.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I noticed that Molly and Tommy mentioned that they only had decided the night before to go, and it was similar with Ellie. So she surprised her boyfriend Connor with a trip for their anniversary, and it all seemed very last minute.
But do you notice as well the demographic that are going? It's all young people who, which statistics show, aren't necessarily going to be greatly affected if they do pick up coronavirus.
I mean, come on. So with influencers, they could have 14 days quarantine easy. It's the people that are in specific jobs. Like if you're working as a nurse, probably not a good idea to go away for a trip to Ibiza.
I think the scary thing is that the COVID situation in Spain hasn't been good at all. There has been over 28,000 deaths and 265,000 cases.
That's really interesting, because for Spain, they wouldn't want people from the UK coming over, because while Spain has had quite a large number of deaths, the UK, they've nearly had double the amount of deaths.
Well, it's funny you say that, because you would think so, but the Spanish government actually makes so much money off tourism, and the changes to the UK travel rules are actually considered a huge lifeline for Ibiza and other islands, because the tourists that flock there are usually from the UK.
Yeah, but are they going to be flocking there for long if there's a huge spike in coronavirus cases? I mean, I can understand it's obviously for the people's livelihoods, and it's actually so sad because it shows you how desperate the Spanish government are to spike their economy back up, because tourism would be such a huge part, especially in Ibiza.
Yeah, well, having a look at Ibiza and the Balearic Islands, which Ibiza is a part of. So data suggests that there are 129 active cases of coronavirus in the island, with 12 more on Friday.
That's pretty crazy, because I mean, you look at South Australia at the moment, we have zero cases, and the way that our government is acting is in a very controlled, very cautious way. If we had 191 cases, there's no way we'd be letting anyone in.
Well, I think it's actually showing a change in mindset, because in Australia, everyone's sort of going, oh, we need to shut down everything. But in these European countries where tourism is so big, they're saying, well, we've got to reopen. We've got to get back to normal. We've got to be able to live with this virus. This virus is going to be around for a long time because there is no vaccine on the horizon.
I think it's a pretty reckless way to live, though. I mean, with the amount of people who are working on finding a vaccine at the moment, you know, we're all predicting that hopefully it might be something that takes another year or 6 months. Can we just not stop traveling for that long to contain it? I mean, people are dying.
But there are people that are dying who they can't support their family, who are committing suicide because they can't live life like this anymore.
And I understand that, but that's where the government needs to step in and take a look at Australia's JobKeeper situation and perhaps produce something like that.
But not all countries can afford to do that.
Well, the Spanish government did announce last week a $4.2 billion euro aid package for its tourism industry. So that's a positive sign in the right direction. But it is really sad for people living in Spain and having to work in those tourism industries. industry, because one hotel worker was interviewed in an article talking about the influx of visitors to Ibiza, and he said he was worried but really had no choice. He said, tourism is the only business here, and if we don't work, we starve. So I think that really puts it into perspective.
Do you guys think it's irresponsible of the influencers to go and promote overseas travel if they have been paid?
I think the thing that is difficult is that if it's allowed by the UK government, then I don't really feel it's irresponsible of them because they are sticking to the guidelines that are allowed.
They're glamorizing it.
Yeah, at the same time, I think even not for the health side of things, but even for people's mental health, particularly look at those poor people in Melbourne at the moment. If I was stuck in lockdown, a very severe lockdown, and my Instagram feed was being flooded with people on these luxurious holidays, it'd be quite detrimental.
For me, it seemed very tone deaf to be bragging about this holiday and kind of acting like everything is back to normal, because it's not back to normal. Unfortunately, there are still people out of work, people that are in lockdown, and just seeing these sort of rich influencers, it seemed very elitist. They're so lucky to be in a position where they can afford to just book a holiday the next day when they're sitting on the couch watching a movie. A lot of people are struggling paycheck to paycheck or not even getting paid and having to live off government benefits. So it did really annoy me. But there is also the other side where, well, it's helping people in Spain live as well. It's a really tough one.
I think the other thing it does do, though, is it helps people escape from perhaps the mundaneness that they're currently living in. I mean, I have to say I did enjoy watching a few of their YouTubes because it was exciting to see people traveling again. But yeah, I'm so in two minds about it.
It was interesting to see all the different protocol, because I was watching Elle Darby's travel vlog to Ibiza, and she was saying that they just had to have lots of temperature checks along the way, and they also had to sign documentation saying that they didn't have coronavirus, which I thought was odd, because unless you've had a coronavirus test, how can you actually legally claim that you don't have it?
The thing that I find interesting, though, is the fact that everyone is traveling to Ibiza, which is clearly known as a holiday island and one where there's a party island where there's lots of music festivals and that sort of thing. And Kate, can you talk us through what the rules are in regards to drinking and dancing? Because at the moment in South Australia, there's no dancing at nightclubs at the moment.
Yeah, that's so great. We could go out because we never dance.
It's a good excuse. Oh, sorry, can't.
Yeah, well, the thing is, a lot of people are thinking, oh, well, we can travel to Ibiza, so it must be up and running. But the sad reality is a lot of the clubs are actually closed. So it's a lot of day clubs that are open, and there are a lot of health and safety measures being put in place. So they're trying to implement mists, like sanitary mists that you walk through when you enter the club.
That just made me laugh because it reminds me of back in the day when you go to a nightclub and there'd be someone on the dance floor would do like a dance floor fart.
Yeah.
And just that horrible beer smell. I don't know, that stench. They kind of needed a bit of that. But
just imagine your hair. Like, imagine having done your hair to go out and then this detergent mist is sprayed into it.
Yeah. Well, in addition to the mist, wearing a mask is also mandatory. So if you're out and about, you're going to be having to wear a mask. You can take it off if you're swimming or sitting around the pool or playing sport. However, if you're in a restaurant, you're going to have to be wearing a mask. And if you're at a bar and you can't actually stand 1.5 meters away, you have to wear the mask, but you can pull it down to have a drink.
Can I just say, some influencers have been absolutely rocking their masks to the point where I'm like, they actually look cool. Because we had a discussion about Kira Maguire in our Facebook group because she posted an Instagram of her. I think it was some sort of
advertisement. She was promoting some a Coles product and did a little impromptu photo shoot in the aisle. Geez,
she was rocking that mask.
I'm in two minds about this whole mask thing, though. While I think it's great that they're influencing other people to do the right thing and wear a mask, I don't want masks to suddenly turn into some fashion thing where statement. People feel... I mean, it's so difficult to get your hands on any of these masks, and there's going to be pressure that, oh, my mask isn't cool.
But at the end of the day, that's always going to happen. And I think if influencers can actually start using their power for good and people want to get a mask, then I don't think there's much danger in that. I think it's positive.
I've had a bit of ick factor over some of the posts with the mask.
I think it's positive. I mean, I saw Brooke Hogan post a tutorial on how to make a mask out of a sock, and I have seen this floating around with other people. And I just think, well, that's really great because it's now mandatory in Victoria to wear them. And I think other states should be adopting it and be more cautious when they're going out.
Do you know what I just keep thinking? I keep thinking if it was this time last year and if you could take a look into the future, you would just be like, what the hell is going on?
I think it's quite interesting, though, because I think there are some really good things being implemented. For example, in Ibiza, they're getting rid of all the paper menus and instead they're putting QR codes on the table. So you just scan it with your phone and the menu pops up. I mean, that's pretty cool.
It's making me just want to go on holiday. That's the worst thing. I just want to go to Penang, which is where we go on our family holidays.
But that's the thing. That's why it's such a tease. Like, it's such a tease being able to see these other people. And as Kate touched on before, it does just feel like this elitist thing.
At least it's something nice to hate follow other than influencers doing up their cupboards.
Love that you want something to hate follow.
Oh, look, I'm human.
Come on, everyone does.
Let's get into our pit and peak of the social media week. And Kate, let's start with the pit because you chose this one and Sophie and I thought it was a bit odd, but we'll let you explain.
Sophie sent me this.
I sent it to you, but I thought it should be a peak, not a pit.
Yes. Okay, well, I have to explain. So Sophie sent me a Instagram photo of Jessica Simpson, who turned 40 this week.
Now, this blew my mind because I don't know if we're showing our age here, but growing up, I remember In Year 8, Newlyweds was on. And that was, of course, the reality show that followed Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey's first couple of years of marriage. And oh my God, it was the best show. And she was only 23 in this at the time. And I remember just being obsessed with her and just thinking how gorgeous she was, how much I wished I looked like her. So it blew my mind to see that she had turned 40.
Yeah, and there's that famous episode where it is her birthday and she's like, oh my God, I'm nearly 25, which nearly means I'm 30. And it's like now she actually is 40. It's quite weird to look back on.
She looks incredible.
Yeah, she does not look 40.
And let's just say 40 isn't even old now. No. I used to think back in the day, 40 used to seem so old, but it's so young still.
Just to clarify, it was the pit because it made me feel old.
Okay, that's fair enough. So just moving on to the peak, that had to be a video that Laura and Britt from the podcast Life Uncut released. And it was a video celebrating the fact they've now had 2 million downloads on their podcast. It was bloody hilarious.
Oh, I just love how into it they get. So Laura and Maddie J often do quite quirky videos like this. And obviously they got Britt involved and bloody hell, they were strutting around Bondi Beach in glittery jackets and acting like divas with puppies and... God, they really took the piss out of themselves.
She's the least exciting to look at.
Please give it a thumbs up, give it a like because it really supports my channel.
You're an insignificant ass hair.
Now into the reality wrap, and there is finally something to talk about because Bachelor in Paradise is finally here. Now, I think we are all in mourning, one, for the fact that Abby Chatfield was kicked off. I mean, what the hell was that about?
She was the best thing on that show. I mean, it really was the Abby show on episode 1 and 2, I'm assuming because she then got kicked off.
Couldn't they bloody force Jamie to give her a rose?
Yeah, she might not have accepted it. I suppose it does show you, though, that the producers probably don't have a huge say because you would assume that they would want Abby Chatfield to be there because she is a ratings winner. I mean, we've just got basically, oh, not all duds. Like, we've got still some good storylines.
But then again, they're putting new characters in each week. So, I mean, I suppose perhaps it's making room for some of the other characters like Kira Maguire to come in.
Do you mean contestants?
Well, I'm calling them characters because that's really what they are. Well, the other contestant that got a lot of the spotlight was Kieran. What did everyone make of the way he's being portrayed currently?
If I was him, I wouldn't have gone on Bachelor in Paradise if I was going to behave like this because he was so well loved after Angie's series and he's just come across as a complete dickhead.
Now, I didn't actually watch Angie's series of The Bachelor, so this is the first time I've met him on the show, I suppose, and I just couldn't believe that everyone was going nuts over him. He literally looks like Draco Malfoy's father. Like, aww, when he came in with that blonde hair down, I was like, is this who we're all going nuts over?
Look, I watched the Angie Kent series and I still don't get it. I don't get why everyone loved him.
I mean, I do like the accent. Maybe it's the accent that's appealing to everyone.
I get why people liked him on Angie's series. I mean, I personally am not a fan of that many tattoos, but I think that a lot of girls do really like the way he does look. He's a particular style. He's not my cup of tea.
Well, that's what I mean. He's a particular style. So it seems odd that a lot of people are going on about him, which was really perfectly summarized in a meme I saw. And it said, no one was interested in American Alex, who is conventionally extremely hot.
In the previous
series of Bachelor in Paradise, but everyone's going nuts about Kieran, who is not what you would conventionally think was attractive.
Is it because he's the bad boy?
Look, yes. No, in Angie's series, it wasn't because he was the bad boy. It was because he was actually really funny and really nice. He was kind of that quirky person that had a really cheeky personality, and he'd always wear different colored suits, and he actually seemed to be looking out for Angie. But what seems to have ruined things for him is the fact that there's more than one woman.
Well, from what I've heard and am led to believe, he was not looking after Angie at all. So apparently he was dating Renee, who was on Matt's series of The Bachelor. the whole time. He was really? On Angie's series, and that's why he left the series.
Oh. He claimed he left because I think it was his grandmother that died.
Well, that's a very good excuse, isn't it? Well, Renee's going to be appearing tonight on the show, isn't she? That should be explosive.
What I find funniest about this is no one even knows who Renee is because she was an intruder on Matt's series who literally lasted like one night.
Yeah, because we were first introduced to her when Cass, who's on Bachelor in Paradise, they had basically a dinner party and they could put in anonymous questions.
It was actually called the Bula Banquet, and I loved because it was very similar to Married at First Sight, where they would ask awkward questions.
Yeah, and they were all anonymous questions. So Cass, she's interested in Kieran, and she put in a question saying, what's the go basically with him and Renee and what happened in their relationship? So he had to reveal at this dinner party that he had actually cheated on Renee at a wedding. And it was hilarious because Cass was like, oh yeah, I'm just, you know, into girl code and I'm really looking out for Renee and I'm not going to go there if his answer doesn't
align with her values.
Yeah. And he literally says he cheats on her. And then next minute, she's trying to hook up with him under a palm tree.
Do you think it's the competition side of things? Because it seems like, well, what the producers want us to think is that Cass is so keen to beat Abby and win Kieran that they don't even care about Kieran. It's all about winning.
I think it's also a lot to do with the amount of alcohol they're being supplied with. She was slurring her words the whole time that night. And yeah, I think that the alcohol is definitely an element as well as the competition.
Well, for Cass, she really hasn't come out of this looking very good because not only was she quite rude to Abby Chatfield, she also was rude to Jess, who came in, I think, towards the end of the second episode. And of course, Jess, she is a tattooed, gorgeous girl, and she caught the eye of Kieran. And it's quite obvious looking at them that they look like a very good match on paper.
Well, they do. When she came in, I was like, oh yeah, he's going to hook up with her.
She blatantly slut-shamed her behind her back. As soon as she entered, she told everyone that she used to work as a stripper. And what I found so...
Is that slut-shaming though? I think it was more the way she said it.
Well, it was
she
the just... connotation, but also she didn't even give Jess the opportunity to tell everyone. And what I thought was so hypocritical was that Cass turned her nose up at Jess for previously being a stripper, but then she's quite happy to actively seek out a relationship with Kieran, who is a stripper.
So Kieran previously was a stripper. And I suppose it is interesting to look at the way male strippers and female strippers are portrayed. And I suppose just males and females generally on the show, because Kieran's seen as a right laugh. Like the fact he was a stripper, it's sort of funny. But then Jess is degraded a bit. Oh, she's just a stripper.
But it's kind of like on The Bachelorette when they were all painting Kieran in the nude, and that was really funny. But if it was, say, Abby Chatfield the season before being painted in the nude, that would be slutty.
Yeah, well, it's quite funny also looking at who the show picks as The Bachelor, because there have been quite a few contestants like Tim Robards that have been strippers before.
But
I was
never
trying to
mentioned.
Think of the Dirty Street Pie. What's his name?
Blake
Garvey. Yeah. No, it's been it's mentioned in news articles, but it's kind of like, oh, that was the side thing they were doing and now they're really successful, which is the same for the women, but it's seen as some dirty thing. And I suppose this hypocrisy was also extremely obvious the way Abby Chatfield was treated. Again.
Yeah, so Abby was shown canoodling in bed with Kieran. And it was almost implied that something happened the way it was edited. And she's come out on the Kyle and Jackie O show and said, guys, nothing happened. She said to Kyle, I would tell you. And she would. She would have said something because she is so open about all of that kind of stuff. She said that they just literally lay in bed together.
The thing I found so disgusting was the way Mary was talking about Abby, basically saying, oh, she's just going to get her tits out again and she's going to, you know, get what she wants. She always gets what she wants. And as you were saying, Amy, she was putting blame on Abby as opposed to Kieran in that situation. I mean, the whole time Abby was only interested in one guy.
But I don't think blame should have been placed on anybody. It's a show about getting to know each other and I suppose in some sense hooking up and seeing if you work as a couple. She has actually come out and apologized for her comments, Mary.
That's Mary. Well, yeah. So she should have.
Yeah, Mary should have apologized. She was pretty disgusting with her commentary, and it's good that she did. I mean, you don't know how you're coming across and what they're going to choose that you say, but she did say those things. Now, on the topic of Bachelor in Paradise and with the Bachelorette impending, we are going to be starting a petition or a campaign to get Abby Chatfield as the Bachelorette. I think we need it. She has announced that she is bi, so can you imagine that? Having men and women competing for a rose, that would be so interesting. Plus, she's overtly sexual. She is in touch with her sexuality. another great thing that we want to watch. I think the series of The Bachelor and Bachelorette is very old school. Like, they don't even have the fantasy suites like they do in America.
And from what I've seen on her Insta story, it's pretty obvious she's still single because she put up a photo saying she's basically been banned from Tinder and also I think it was Hinge because people keep reporting her account as being fake, but it's actually her.
I saw Tinder got onto that though and messaged her and said that her account's back up and going.
Well, she also did a Q&A with her friend and they were both saying that they've already come up with date ideas if she is picked for The Bachelorette, and it included eating a whole lot of food, which I loved. So let's move on to some reality shows that are sadly wrapping up. And one that I have loved has been MasterChef. And I feel like it's been going for about 2 years because it started in the midst of all the lockdown that was going on. And I know for me and a lot of people, it's been a real crutch and a little excitement, some family-friendly fun at the end of the day.
I feel like it's really inspired you to cook again, Kate, because you have been whipping up desserts left, right, and center. So I hope that continues after MasterChef's finished.
Well, it's funny because Reese and I were talking about it, and we feel like the previous series of MasterChef, you used to actually try and cook the things that the contestants cooked, but because it's the best of series, it's been really hard to replicate anything they've cooked because it's all so complex.
Now, Kate, were you happy with the winner?
No, I wasn't. It was very anticlimactic. As we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, the winner was Amelia, and she was tipped by the betting companies to be the winner. So it seems that there was a leak ages ago that knew that she won.
Oh, look, anytime those shows are pre-recorded, the crew know who have won. They're going to tell the betting people. I said to you last week, I was like, so should I put a whole lot of money on her? And you're like, no, you never know.
Well, it was really sad because Laura was going really well, and then she burnt her hand so badly. So from there, it was kind of obvious what was going to happen. I personally wanted Callum Hand to win. I think he is so sweet. He came fourth, and when he got kicked off, literally, I could have cried. It was so sad.
Okay, yes. Are you a bit jealous? Because tomorrow, as part of Hula Media, Amy and I are going to be filming something special with Callum.
I'm very jealous. I asked if I could come along. You can. Well, I've actually got something on tomorrow.
You can hold our lights or something.
Well, another series of mine that you guys have refused to watch is Big Brother, and that is ending tonight. And I would really like to see Dan win. It's kind of been anticlimactic. All the good people kind of got kicked off, and it's now just the two groups.
Now, how are they actually deciding the winner, Kate?
I still don't know. It's meant to be voted by the public, but they will not actually tell us what's happening. You only know that they do the sort of competitions and games until they get that final three, and then apparently it's voted on. But I'm really interested because not once have we been asked to vote for who we want to win.
Mm. Well, the thing that blew my mind this week, though, was hearing that Kieran from Big Brother is now selling his own merchandise.
Yeah, this was really strange to me because Kieran is one of those people that, yes, I enjoyed watching him on the show because he was such a buffoon. It's not that I like him, nor would want to emulate anything he's wearing. And that sounds really cruel, but that's... And I just found it was really quite interesting because I had a look and he's got a YouTube channel and obviously pushing his own merch. So it seems he's dead set interested in becoming famous.
Now, I believe his merch had some of his catchphrases on there. What were the catchphrases, Kate?
Catchphrases that I didn't even know were a thing. Like, I noticed they started calling him Thick Boy, which I thought, well, that's a bit rude. Yeah, he's got on the t-shirts. And
who would want to wear that shirt, though? Like, who is his target demographic?
I laughed because it almost sounds a bit rude.
Yeah, it seems a bit of a play on words, doesn't it?
Well, even the word thick implies dumb as well, so.
Oh, I must be thick. I didn't think of that. But what I found interesting is his dad is actually a drama teacher. So I was wondering if he was putting on an act and everything he was doing in the house was a bit fake because he was so infuriating. Like, he would sit on the couch and be like, like, and just be mumbling to himself.
I just feel like the Big Brother producers clearly tried to keep him there because he should have been out night one.
Oh, yes. It's pretty obvious they tried to keep Angela and Kieran there.
Do you reckon that's what he spent his 15 grand on, just putting out this merch?
Oh, that's a good idea. I don't know. Well,
he's a videographer, isn't he? The thing that I found really interesting, though, was I had a look at Angela. She popped up because I follow Chic, and it popped up that she was wearing one of their tops. And I was like, oh, I want to see how many followers she has. She only had 22,000, which surprised me because she seemed like one of the most popular on there.
Oh, it shows that Big Brother hasn't been too popular because even with Kieran, he's around the 20,000 mark. But if you look at people who are on The Bachelor, they've all got over 100,000.
Maybe it's the demographic who's watching the show. Mm, a lot of older people that wouldn't follow them.
Talking about Big Brother and people with large followings, it was quite funny. I'm obsessed with Nadia Bartel's brand, despite not actually buying any of her jumpers because they sold out and were too expensive. Anyway.
And made from very poor quality materials.
Yeah, apparently they're made from poor quality materials, someone told us in our community.
But you love the look of the
but
stuff.
But I love it. Yeah, and anyway, one of the people on the Instagram story that was wearing one of the jumpers was Crystal, and I thought she looks familiar. I clicked on her page, and she looks kind of like one of those Byron Bay mums with, you know,
so this is a Big Brother person.
Yeah, it's Crystal from Big Brother, the one that went in with her mum, and they both had boob jobs. She has completely rebranded herself. It was quite hilarious. She's one of those holistic mums that's all about the Byron Bay life and the white linen. And I was like, wow, this is completely different to what you're portrayed like on Big Brother, which was obviously a long time ago. And she's got hundreds of thousands of followers. So wow. I was surprised because Instagram wasn't around when she was on Big Brother.
Obviously her new lifestyle.
Maybe she's working. Some sort of mummy blogger now.
Yes, she was. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, blast from the past. It's time for Awkward Turtle. Now, Amy and Sophie have been keeping this one a secret from me so they can get my real reaction to it.
Okay.
So yeah. I'm interested to know what actually happened.
Well, one lunchtime, Sophie and I decided, okay, it's beautiful weather. Let's go for a walk from her new house. So we walked towards Grange Beach. Anyway, there was this beautiful secluded part of this walkway through to the beach, and there was only one man in front of us. So we were just walking along chatting. And this is the day that Sophie had found out that her boyfriend had to have a coronavirus test just because he had a sore throat. It was literally no other
reason.
Was it a
sore throat? Wasn't it just a tickle? Because Brandon is very, very good with those things. Well, like he will get things checked out even when something's not wrong.
To be fair, with the job that Brandon does, they're very cautious and they've been urging anyone who has any signs, even a tickle in their throat, to get tested. So that's why he got tested. Yeah. So anyway, we're walking along and just chatting, and all of a sudden Sophie brings up Brandon's test, and she was like so mind you, this man's walking probably 1.5 meters ahead of us. She's like, yeah, so he gets his results back for the coronavirus test tomorrow. She was so loud. I was like, Sophie, this man's probably going to be panicked thinking we're going to
like dob you in or something.
I know, and he's
he
walking.
Did fall into the age category who are at risk.
Yeah, so he's walking ahead of us. And then all of a sudden, he sort of like stands to the side and lets us walk past him, and he starts walking back. It was so embarrassing.
Well, I can confirm that he does not have coronavirus. As soon as we got back from the walk, actually, he found out that he was negative for it.
Well, there's no shock there because there's currently zero cases in South Australia, thank goodness. And as we close, we just want to say we are really thinking of everyone in Melbourne. I know a large percentage of our listener base is from Victoria, so I hope you guys are doing okay. We really feel for you. We do want to say we feel lucky to be able to be going about pretty normally. So we are thinking of you, and hopefully this podcast brightens your day a little bit on one of your walks.
And if you did enjoy today's episode, we'd love if you could share it on your Instagram. Tag us at @outspoken_the_podcast so we can reshare it. And also come and join our Facebook community, Outspoken, the podcast community, because there's some amazing conversations going on in there.